The title of my message this morning is Building a Solid Kingdom Life. Building a Solid Kingdom Life. Building a Solid Kingdom Life. I'll just go straight to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, to quickly turn there because time is running. And the second scripture, it will be from 1 Timothy chapter 3. Building a solid kingdom life. Building a solid kingdom life. We are talking about certain things that you will build once and for all. Certain things that you will establish once and for all. Certain things that becomes a mindset for you. Certain things that you will trigger off that will ensure that you enjoy a prosperous kingdom life. And I am talking about supernatural intervention. I am talking about miracles. I'm talking about signs. I'm talking about wonders. It's very interesting that when the brakes of my dear sister failed, she did not speak in tongues. Did you catch that? She didn't even say, I remembered 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I remembered Psalm 91, and I remembered. Amen. And so there is this, what I'm going to share with you to this morning are the things that naturally kicks in when they are needed. There are things that they naturally kick in. When your strength fails, they kick in. When your hope fails, it kicks in. When your will fails, it kicks in. When your vision fails, it kicks in. When your wallet is empty, it kicks in. 2001. My wife and I were running a business, and the bank was empty. Out. No cash. I remember that morning we got up on our way to church. I mean, you know, when you are running a business, husband and wife, when the company account is empty, it means the family account is empty as well, you know. And we got up that morning, we looked at ourselves, we knew this is it. And then we held hands, we were listening to a tape by our pastor, and just at the tail end of that message, he started praying, started prophesying, just like Pastor was praying and prophesying this morning. And that prophecy leapt into our spirit in 24 hours. That was a Sunday morning. By Monday afternoon, there was a dramatic turnaround. Dramatic turnaround. And so there are certain things that must be established so that when your strength fails, this thing kicks in. 1 Corinthians 11, quickly we go through. The Lord will grant me speed this morning. Therefore, verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the blood is unworthy, in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we will not be judged. Amen? Amen. Put your finger there and just flip across to 1 Timothy. If you hit Revelation, you've gone too far. 1 Timothy chapter 3. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. You ought to know how to conduct yourself in the house. In other words, you must understand the certain principles and certain pillars that undergirds the kingdom of God so that your kingdom life will be solid and will be ensured. Amen. And I talked about it in 1 Corinthians. I said, listen, a lot of people do not even understand what the kingdom life is all about. And so you come into church because we are a very religious people. We are very religious. We are trained to believe that there is God. Whether we know what we are doing is a different matter altogether. Amen. And so the Bible says that, listen, even the Lord's Supper, it said, listen, this is not an ordinary bread. This is not an ordinary wine. It said some people don't even know what they are doing. Amen. And so we find that, he said, yeah, and so there's a particular way you must conduct yourself in the house. There's a particular way, there's a certain level of understanding you must have regarding the house of God so that your life will be ensured. And I realized that I've been walking in this way of life for quite some time now, that even when my strength fails, I just find that certain things just kick in automatically. I want to share four of those things with you this morning. Amen. Amen. Number one, come on, say, pastor. Say pastor.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Number two, say platform.
Platform.
Number three, say purpose.
Purpose.
Number four, say partnership.
Partnership.
Number one, say pastor.
Pastor.
Say platform.
Platform.
Say purpose.
Purpose.
And say partnership.
Partnership.
Okay, so I have put them in the order of importance. But they are all important. But in order of priority. Amen. And so because I may not have the time to go through this one, I want to talk to you about the things that are very, very important. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn your Bible with me to Mark chapter 6. Say pastor.
Pastor.
Say pastor.
Pastor.
Mm. I realize that one of the things that has really guided me and guided me is my understanding. My understanding. Listen, I am telling you that when my strength fails, certain things just work for me. And I must tell you this, I have not really had it rough. I have not. I have not because of certain depth of understanding. It says, you ought to know how to conduct yourself. So if you don't know how to conduct yourself, there are certain things that will not work. When your brakes fail, there are certain things that will not work. When your wallet gets empty, there are certain things that will not work. When your vision fails, there are certain things that will not work. And so before the devil started plotting, God has revealed it to someone, has revealed it to the pastor. He said, as far as the house of God is concerned, he said, you are a sheep. And do you know how narrow-minded and blind sheep are? He says that is your persona in the spirit. He says, so when you come into the body of Christ, when you come to the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter how skilled and exposed you are, you must understand your place and your role and your function. You must know how to relate vis-a-vis your association with the body of Christ, with your local church. And the very first person you must know how to identify with, it's your pastor. You know, I can really say it here. I am talking about myself. I have lived in 3 countries, and this has preserved me. When I had no money, this preserved me. When I lost my vision, not sight, aspiration, this preserved me. When I showed up in a new country without any money in my pocket, my disunderstanding preserved me. If I relocate today to Canada, from the airport, I'm going to ask myself one question. Where is the local church and the servant of God you have called me to be under? That's all. That's all. That's all. And I get praying. I do everything every other person will do. But when the crunch time comes, when my strength fails, this understanding automatically triggers divine intervention. He said, but the husband is the head of the prayer group, and the wife forgot to pray. then what is the source of that preservation? When danger comes, and trust me, the last thing you remember is your scriptures. 1994, I did someone a favor. I gave him Cyprus pounds because I was in Cyprus. He gave me six American dollars and they were fake. I got arrested. They wrote a seven-page document on my behalf that I was involved in illegal trafficking and forged U.S. dollars. They had a meeting, called me to a room. I sat down. They couldn't speak English. They were Greeks. So there was no point going to any conversation. So I knew the end of that matter was jail. I met a colleague. I met someone in jail as well. Eventually, when I was released, he was given 21 years. So I said, is this it? They were looking at me. They said, I should sign the paper. I read it. The only thing that was in English was the title. Every other thing was in Greek. They said, Eddie, it was involved in forged possession and circulation of forged US dollars. Paragraph one, Greek. Then my name at the end. So they said, sign. When they gave me the pen, and about seven police chiefs and immigration officers in the same room with myself, I did not remember any scripture, and I was born again. But I will never forget when Jesus came through that door. Everywhere went quiet. Quiet. There was this funny, this strange, eerie feeling in the room. You know, it was as if I was detached from my natural body and I was watching this in the movie set. So I picked up the form, pen, signed all the documents. And I said, what next? They looked at me. Quiet. Then the man at the end said, go. Go? Say, yeah, go. I said, hi. I said, I'm dead. I know. I've seen this in, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. No. I've seen this scenario before. You know, Clint Eastwood, you know, and the moment you turn your back, bang, 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 bang. No way. Yeah, I'm not living here. I said, where's my passport? He said, I need a passport. So he brought the passport out. You know, gave it, they passed it around the table, and they gave it to me. And I looked at it, my passport was intact. So I got up and I'm going. You will forget scriptures. There are certain things that God, there are certain things that suspends the earth. Mm-hmm. You don't pray about them. Mm-hmm. There are certain things that holds the kingdom of God. Right. You don't think about them. I don't know how many of you have seen your heart before, but it's beating right now. Mm. You will know you have a heart until the day it stops. Praise the Lord. That's not to say you shouldn't eat McDonald's. You can eat McDonald's. Double cheeseburger is all right. What am I saying? There are certain things you must understand. You understand them now, once and for all. And that is, your pastor is a pillar in the local church. The pastor is the pillar spiritually that God has ordained to preserve you. When I have a pastor, I go to bed. Please. Once you know in your heart that you have, that you are someone's sheep, you go to bed. Because in the face of danger, you will not remember to pray in tongues. But his assignment and his call will preserve you. His assignment and his call will preserve you. His assignment and his call will preserve you. God is committed to his ministers. God is committed to his ministers. When your strength fails, there is an assignment and a call that God has ordained to preserve you. When you forget scriptures in the face of danger, there is an assignment and a call that God has ordained to preserve you. 2003, when a small church started, I told my leaders one morning, I said, listen, I said, every single department will be headed by project managers. They were unemployed. They said, where are they coming from? I said, they will soon come, don't worry. I said, oh, yeah, he's all this, he's talking again, you know. They were looking at me as if I was on drugs. I said, how will this happen? I said, don't worry. The assignment and the call will make it available. So I sat down and I came out with a profile of the head of department for every single unit. A profile, not the person. Amen? So, for example, the head of the junior church has a profile. And my profile for that person is 1 to 10. You know, I have everything listed out. When that person comes into church, when someone comes into church and say, Pastor, from now on, I am a sheep here. I take that profile and put that profile on that person based on his or her faithfulness. So all of a sudden, the one who is unemployed gets a job. Not because of their skills, but because of the profile. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Because of the profile. All of a sudden, he buys a house. Not because he deserves it, but because of a profile. The profile says that the head of the junior church must work in the bank. So even if he read English, he went up in the bank. Does that make sense? You know. And this is not just say, I can roll you out names and numbers for you to call. Are you listening? It is our responsibility as pastors to confer profiles on individuals. So when the devil is busy concerning your destiny, the pastor is busy concerning your destiny. When you fail to remember scriptures, his assignment will arise and defend you. That is why. It's an understanding you accept. It is kingdom life. It is kingdom life. Kingdom life means that is the way it is. It is not subject to your analytical analysis. Amen. It is not an MBA class. That's just the way the kingdom works, darling. And he says, so many of us, I said, some of you have even formed. Now, when we say we are doing communion or an anointing service, he said we are conferring an empowerment on you. When we say we are having communion, to you it is bread, but to the assignment and the call, it is the power and wisdom of God. He said, but because you do not know how to behave, how to respond to these things. He said, many people have even died. Now, they have died untimely death. Things that the assignment and the call could have prevented. But because of their lack of knowledge, they fall, they become cheap. That would have been cheap for the enemy. There was nothing wrong with the brakes. The car was okay. Are you kidding? But thank God for one who knows how to be faithful. How to recognize that I belong to a house. He said, I went to see my pastor's wife, and my pastor said, new level, new devils. But don't worry, you are covered. So ever before it happened, an insurance policy has been released. Amen? That's how the kingdom works. Don't just go to church, come back, go to church, come back. What you are doing, you don't know. Mark 6. But the multitudes, verse 33, but the multitudes saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep having no shepherd. What did he do? So he began to give them jobs. Is that what he said? Okay, he said he began to give them money. He decided to marry them. Amen. He said he began to do what? Many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples said to him, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." The sheep without shepherd means they lacked direction, possibly harassed at the mercies of the wolves of life. What did he do? He began to do what? Teach them. He began to teach them. He began to impact them. Assignment. He spread his call. Remember what he said? He said, "God has sent me to release the captives." Amen.
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 And so you find that the pastor, his assignment is to ensure that the wolves of life do not snap your life away. And so he will instruct you. He will impact you. He will inspire you. He will cover you from the proceeds of his call. It's just the way the kingdom works. And you must know, you must understand this. You must understand this. The issue is that we know we are very independent. I mean, we have migrated to the UK, labored to pay your school fees yourself. You've now settled down. You call the shots. You are your own man. You are your own woman. You are your own God. And so the devil knows this. So the devil will always ensure that you do not understand this and bring yourself under covering, the covering of a shepherd. The covering of a shepherd. Why? Your lack of understanding is cheap victory for him. Because the devil is happy for you to spend 20 years doing a 2 minutes journey. Spend 10 years doing a 10-month journey. When you have this understanding, you gain speed. All of a sudden, your assignment is no longer yours. Your dream is no longer yours. Your dream is undergirded by a call and an assignment bigger than yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Listen to me. Not only did he teach them, he fed them. Read the scriptures. He fed them. And when Jesus feeds you, you are fed. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus felt sorry for them. We're like sheep without shepherd. Sheep without shepherd. He felt sorry for those who don't have a pastor. So I sat down and I looked at my life. And I said, this one, okay, I may not have read, I may not be able to recite the scriptures verbatim from Genesis to Revelation. But I know this one has been with me since 1988. This one has not moved. This is a pillar. And it is the pillar that guards the kingdom of God. It's a pillar that has now, that now undergirds my own destiny. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Receive your pastor. Receive your pastor. It will reduce your journey. When I tell people that, you know what, I don't like being stressed, people think, oh yeah, oh, it's just what he's talking about. I don't like being stressed. I don't like being stressed. Just play by the rules of the kingdom. Play by the rules of the kingdom. He said you ought to know how to behave and conduct yourself in the house of God. Play by the rules of the kingdom. And the rules of the kingdom means, says, I have placed a shepherd over you. So where is he? And when you find him, receive him. You know, reception is a function of the heart. Reception is a function of the heart. Now, that is where the labor is. Not greet him. Not greet him. One of my sons, this week he's relocating to Canada. He came to see me. I did not even know. He came, he said, Pastor, I have an interview. I need to pray with me. And I looked at him, and some things were not just right, you know. So instead of pray with him, I gave him a piece of my mind. And you know, he left. He went for that interview. He didn't do well because all the time during the interview he was thinking about what I said. So he flunked the interview. He was very upset. So he told his wife, you know what, I'm not going to that church anymore. So he left. The following Sunday, he went to another church, like 10 times bigger than this one. This is my church. And then this is his testimony. He got there, he said, oh Lord, speak to me today. Oh Lord, speak to me today. Oh Lord, speak to me today. As he got to the church, he saw how pastor said, the Lord spoke to me that there's someone around here. The woman of God that day didn't even say people are, just say, you come. Then you come. Stay here. And they had cameras all over the place. He said, God said I should tell you that you are running away from your pastor. Go back to him. He said, when the woman was talking, he said, I'm trying to hide. Hide himself from the, just in case I see him on TV. Now, this is his own testimony. He said, Pastor, he says, the day I came back, right? He said, that from that day forward, number one, the Canadian visa they've been applying for years, got a phone call. Everything just bang, bang, bang. Thursday, he's locating. Amen. Say, Pastor. It's just the way he has designed it. You cannot westernize it. You cannot. It's just the way he's designed it. You either come into the kingdom and accept it, or stay out. Or stay in the kingdom, refuse to accept it, but have no result to show for you being a kingdom. And that's where many of us are. And so we'll say, this person has been in church for a very long time. It looks as if his cousin is the devil. Constantly being plagued. Then it now looks as if the church is not good. No, it's you. It's you. Play by the rules. You cannot psychoanalyze it. You cannot. It doesn't matter whether you are smarter or more intelligent. It's just the way the kingdom works. Do you want benefits? Do you want supernatural intervention? Do you want miracles? Do you want signs? Do you want your life to be undergirded by something over and above you? Accept what has been laid down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We know this scripture anyway. It says, so they rose early in the morning, 2020, for 2020 vision. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me. Say, hear me.
Hear me.
Hear me.
Hear me.
O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Believe the Lord your God. You have believed. You are established. He said, but believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Prosperity means that it will be well with you. It will be well with your soul. When your vision fails, something else comes in to take over. Favor comes. Peace comes. Amen. He said, but believe in your prophets. And now, how do you do these things? Just one word. Acceptance. Acceptance. I just accept, you know, this is my pastor. Now, let me give you a testimony to just prove to you that this thing, I have been peddling this thing for a very long time. When I came into UK, that's the love I have for him up to today. At least, see what God has used you, my pastor, to do in my life. When I came to the UK, I was unemployed. I was doing a very funny job working as a traffic warden. You know, my pastor here is the one who submitted my CV in a Fortune 500 company. I was the least qualified. But because my pastor submitted my CV, my lack of skills was bridged. Because my pastor submitted my resume, my lack of exposure was covered. Because my pastor submitted my CV, my errors were overlooked. It's just the way the kingdom works. Amen. Amen. Up till now, I'm still, all the exposure I have today, all the travelings I have today, the career I have today, is because my pastor took my documents somewhere. When it was in my hands, it was an ordinary document. When it got to his hand, it was coated in assignment and calling. I never met him and knew him as Shola Iwedemi. No, I met him and knew him as Pastor Shola Iwedemi. When it was in my hand, it was an ordinary document. But when it was placed in his hands, it was undergirded and coated and insured. It became a spiritual document. So when it was submitted, it gained favor. When it was submitted, it became attractive. When it was submitted, the errors were overlooked. When it was submitted, it became something people wanted to add to their own organization. It's just the way the kingdom works. He said he used the things that are lowly. Amen. It's just the way the kingdom works. Just accept. End of story. We have not said pay money. Just accept. It's a heart condition. When we ask you, who is your pastor? When you are answering that question, it should come from your heart. It's something that you know that you know. Amen? Amen. You know, I'm married, right? Where's your wife? I said, that's my wife. Yeah, you say prove it. How do I push it? I don't even have a wedding ring. Now, the reason I don't have a wedding ring is because I react to anything metal. So, you know, my body just itches. So I actually lost the wedding ring. but I told my wife I swallowed it. I said, don't worry. It's not what you put in your finger. Your ring is in my heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. So how do you prove all that? No, but you know, it's in your heart. I have nothing to prove. I have a wife. I have nothing to prove. I have a wife. I can't prove it to you. The best I can do is show you a document. I say, okay. I say, no. That's... So when we say, where is your pastor? Who is your pastor? Listen, the devil will ask you. The devil will ask you, who is your pastor? We want to check out his assignment before we decide to invade you. What home do you come from? Every man, he said, he said they're lonely in family. Everyone belongs to a family. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Everyone belongs to a family. Everyone belongs to a family. Everyone reproduces after his kind. So if you cannot say This is the one that has been sent to me. You are just... you become a cheap dumping ground for the devil. When they are looking for clutches and bricks to tamper with, they will come and look at your own. When they are looking for people to, when they are looking, they say, oh, there's a credit crunch, there's this crunch. You know, last year, October, I called the church. My only regret now is that I wish I had actually made that thing, said that thing on TV or somewhere. I said, God told me that there's an ill wind coming in 2008. I said, God told me. I said, quickly, come for an anointing service. Like the type we are calling for the next Sunday or the all night. Quickly. And then we went on an intensive prayer and anointing. Maybe that quarter, October, November, December 2007, I must have anointed their heads almost 5 or 6 times. Because of the magnitude of what God showed me. But look at 2008. They are all laughing. They are all feeling smiles. They give each other high five in church. All their friends have been laid off. They are still standing. My son was telling me recently, oh, Pastor, I just want to let you know that I've just been promoted and they gave me bonus as well and their salary increase. And I said, yeah. He said, but by the way, they've just closed down 4 departments and laid about 500 people off. I said, and you are getting promotion and they... When you have a pastor, they will lay people off so they can increase your package. It's just the way the kingdom works.
That's it.
Equally, when you don't have a pastor, or you are in the house and you are pretending that you have one, you know that's the thing about the fruit of the Spirit. The devil knows those who are covered and those. That's why it's a thing of the heart. If you are not convinced, that is the most difficult thing. Me, I have locked that one down. Hey. Ah. I don't think about it. I don't know. It locked down. Just buried. So we take on life cheaply. Amen. I am propelled by prophecies. Because I have a pastor. This is beyond church attendance. Were you in church yesterday? Oh, yeah, I came. What department? I walk in there. No. Who is the one over you? What is your heart towards him? Amen. You know, I know people who love me. I just walk past in church. There are some that they just smile. The way they just smile. Now, they've not done anything for me. They've not given me anything. Just the way they smile back at me, I know that one loves me, man. You know, it's true. You know, do you know why? Love is a spirit. God is love. Love is a spirit. It just flows. I called 2 of my sons. I said, come. They said, we're doing contracting, working as a contract. I said, come. I said, this is your contract work you are doing. I said, it is not your faith carrying you. I said, I have been for the past 2 years, he's been one job after one job. I said, it is not your faith. I said, I'm so busy right now, and I don't think I can focus on that thing anymore. Go and get a permanent job. And he said, yes, Pastor, want to get a permanent job? Go get a permanent job. I said, you'll go back out April next year. Because this is not your faith carrying you. You are driving 2 big cars and you have a big house. It's not your faith carrying you. So go and get a permanent job. Quickly, he went to get a permanent job. The assignment will protect you. Amen. The calling will preserve you.
Amen.
But you must have a pastor. It's not prayer. Have a pastor. You must have a pastor. Come on, make up your mind this morning. This is my pastor. Now that you are here, God has been trying to tell you something. And then some people will come in, they say, well, we just check out this church. How long can you check it out? The Bible says the devil is going to and fro. He doesn't waste time. The devil never chucks you out. He kills, steals, and destroys. End of story. But here you are. I'm still checking out. How long will you check out, my friend? Sit down. How long? It's the church of God. Now that you are here, sit down and embrace the one that God has. He's been trying to talk to you since. Sit down. We are not demons here. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down because you don't know on your way home if that break will work. Sit down now. I'm telling you. Sit down now. A mile from home. But sit down now. Sit down now. In a familiar territory. Sit down now. Because enough of casualties in the body of Christ. Come on. Too many cheap victories for the devil. Let's sit down. Sit down and say, this is my pastor. This is my pastor. Hey, it is settled in my heart. This is my pastor. This is my pastor. I have nothing. I have stopped running up and down. This is my pastor. I receive his prophecies. I believe he hears from God. I will pray for him. I will defend him. This is, from now on, this one is my man. When you do that, the devil backs off. Because let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. The world of the spirit is as real as our physical world. That's why you cannot afford to make spiritual errors. If not, your physical existence will be very, very difficult. Hallelujah. Amen. Rise to your feet as we close, Pastor. I just want to pray with a few people this morning.